Okay, all right. Good morning, everybody. I just thought of another thing Avni didn't tell you guys. He's got more lives than a cat. He said he got a job with the International Red Cross after he, healed from most of his wounds and his situation. So he's working for the International Red Cross. And he was in Afghanistan when 9/11 occurred. So the Taliban took him all prisoner. So he was a prisoner of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And then after some time, the Taliban decided they're going to release him. They told him, you got 3 hours to be out of Afghani airspace. And all they had was a couple of small planes and about 30 people or something. And how are we going to get all these people out of here? So they're trying to pile in these little planes, and one plane was like a Cessna, and they're sticking guys in the tail of it. No suitcases. Forget the suitcases. We got to get out of here. And they're trying to take off, but the plane's overloaded and had to clear a mountain. And they almost didn't make it, trying to get out of Afghanistan within 3 hours. It's like, man, how many times you get yourself locked up? Man, maybe we shouldn't hang around with him. All right. You know, last week I was doing my lesson on faith, and I was laying the foundation of what faith really is. You know, it's so important that we do understand this thing called faith, because in many times it's just simply used as some kind of a buzzword. You know, keep the faith, without ever really knowing, yeah, what does that mean? What is this faith? It's important that we understand as Christian people, the New Testament is not just another set of rules and regulations like the Old Testament. There's a big difference between the Old Testament as far as its requirements. Know this. What God is looking for is practicing righteousness. That's what he was looking for in the Old Testament. But that system of law was fatally flawed. It was a holy, just, and good law, is what the Bible tells us. The problem with it, according to Romans chapter 8, was the weakness of the man. The weakness of the man could not keep the good and holy, just law. Paul would say, as he reflected back on his own experience as a Pharisee, a Jewish Pharisee, he says in Romans 7 and 14 that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. Now, he is referring to himself B.C., before Christ in him, because the 8th chapter of Romans, he shifts gears and brings us back to the new covenant. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, we're under no condemnation for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but the Spirit. The Spirit. You see, the old covenant did not have the Spirit available to the people. God knew that. I mean, this is his program. It wouldn't happen until the fullness of time, until the prophesied Messiah would come into the world. That's why they had, with their covenant law, the Ten Commandments, this thing called the sacrificial laws of the sacrificing of animals and observing various feast days and washings, carnal ordinances is how the New Testament describes it, which could not make the people who approached perfect. That system was not designed to do it. But the new covenant is faith-based. It's not works performance-based like a law-based system. It's faith-based, meaning knowledge, truth, light, relationship with the Creator. It's not just knowing the law, it's knowing the lawgiver. So we talked about that some last week, because it's important that we understand how this works. Right now I'm looking in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This thing called faith. Remember last week we looked at the definitions of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, is just as important. It says, without faith, you cannot please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How can you seek for an invisible God? Jesus said, you have never seen his shape, and you ain't never heard his voice. The Bible said God is invisible. God told King David, seek my face. Now we know from Exodus 33, God says, no one can see my face and live. Then why would God tell someone to seek his face? Remember what Paul said, if you recall, in Acts 17, he was at Mars Hill talking to all these philosophers and all these people that wanted to come together to talk about new and exciting things. Well, they knew he was there. He took the stand there. He was going to speak. They wanted to hear what this babbler had to say, because they heard he was talking about some strange things. So these Athenians in Acts chapter 17 came together to hear what he had to say. So in verse 22, he took the stage. Acts 17 and 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. As I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. He said, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the earth, on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, we move, we have our own being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. We're not just flesh and blood. We're spirit. God is a spirit, Jesus said. The people that worship him, he said, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, this is how we can find the unseen God. He's there. He's not far away from any one of us, because in him we live and move and have our own existence. We can find God. You see, we're made for this thing called faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. You see, we don't think about it too much, how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Human beings are made to take in information into their brain, assimilate the information, and make decisions based on the information. We are free will, and we have choice. God said, I set before you good and evil, light and darkness. Now, choose life that you may live. And when he says live, he means live forever. We're eternal. Once you've come into existence, you can't go out of existence. You're going somewhere. The Bible said when a person dies, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. Well, some people die more than once, but then the judgment. Paul said we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in our bodies, good or bad. In fact, an interesting book, of course, in the Old Testament is written by Solomon, the wisest guy that ever lived, the wisest man. Why was he so wise? Well, the Bible says God gave him the wisdom when he became king of Israel. God came to Solomon in a dream and said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, give me wisdom to rule such a great people as this. And when God saw how he answered, he said, because you did not ask for riches, because you did not ask for the heads of your enemies, but you've asked for wisdom, I will give you the wisdom. And he gave him the riches. He just threw it in. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. When the queen of Sheba came to Solomon and saw it with her own eyes, she said, the half has not been told concerning you and your kingdom. The wisest man that ever lived wrote the 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes about what is this life all about anyway. Talked about the vanity of life, the frailty of our lives. Our lives are but a vapor, and our days are full of suffering and sorrow, and then we fly away. Now Solomon was speaking as how a man might look at life and the futility of life. But he knows, because he's the wisest man that ever lived, and when he concludes the 12 chapters, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's duty. For God will bring, he said, every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether good or bad, good or evil. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We take in the information from God. We've mentioned this before. Human beings learn by reason, experience, and observation. That's how we learn. You can know that God exists by reason, experience, and observation. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1. By the things that are made, God's eternal power and Godhead are clearly evident in the creation. But you don't know God. You can know he exists. Paul said that to these guys at Mars Hill. They had all these objects of their worship. You know, people don't have a problem, for the most part, around the globe, believing in deity. But Paul saw this one altar that had this inscription to the unknown God. He said, let me tell you about that one, being you obviously don't know him, because all the objects of their worship was based in idols and basically demons. So he explains this God. You see, because if you're going to know God, the one and only true God, you're going to have revelation. You have to have revelation. In other words, God reveals it. And how does he reveal it? The Bible says through prophets and apostles. Specifically, the new covenant, through the apostles and prophets of the new covenant, the Holy Spirit. Peter said prophecy in old time didn't come by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, praying to his Father, said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Now look, we can take great comfort in that. You don't want the target moving all over the place. We need an anchor for our soul, the Bible says, something solid. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, right there at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, he who hears these sayings of mine and he does them, he said, I'll tell you what he is like. He's like a wise man builds his house on a rock. Because the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. It didn't fall. Why? It was founded on a rock. Verse 26 says, Matthew 7, 26, but everyone who hears these saying of mine and does not do them, he'd be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. That ain't just your house, that's your life he's talking about. He said, if you do these sayings of mine, Jesus said, you come and learn from me, you will find rest for your soul. He said, my words are spirit. And they are life. You see, sometimes we don't think. You know, like little kids don't realize that they're growing. A couple little kids sitting over here probably looking at me wonder, what's that goofy guy talking about up there anyway? I wonder if they think I'm talking about them. Little kids don't see. Their eyes are not open to know good and evil. They don't know bigger picture stuff yet. They don't realize they're growing. You see, sometimes I don't think people realize they're growing spiritually once they're born again, because they're like babes, is what the Bible says. A newborn babe in Christ. Now, we're not talking about a little kid. We are talking about a penitent adult who has repented for their sins and has been born again, baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, gift of the Holy Spirit, is a baby, spiritually speaking. You don't perceive the growth sometimes. Now, some don't, because they don't even know they're supposed to. That's a big problem. A lot of churches don't emphasize the new birth as the beginning, not the end of anything. It's just what it is. It's a new birth, a new beginning. To rise and walk in a new life. Out of the darkness into the light. Spirit of God strengthening the inner man, according to Ephesians 3:16. Led by the Spirit, strengthened by the Spirit. The faith that overcomes the world is our victory. The world. We've talked about this before. Peter refers to now the people in Christ are a special people. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, you are now a chosen generation, You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, 1 Peter 2:9, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. The people of God are considered a special people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special people, because he calls them out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. Now, Acts 26, I like this. When Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was blinded on the road to Damascus, the voice that spoke to him from heaven was the Lord. He tells a story. It's his own testimony. What happened? This guy was a Jewish Pharisee, man, and he was against this thing called the Way. Early church. He thought it was a heresy. It's contrary to the law of Moses. So he was persecuting the early Christians. And then one day he said, I was traveling with my guys. We were going to find any of these so-called Christians and bring them to prison. All of a sudden, man, there was a light that shone from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. He heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He goes, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Uh-oh. What would you have me do, Lord? Now you got to read all three contexts together. I'm giving you the paraphrase. The Lord said, I want you to stand on your feet. Get up. Yeah, I got a mission for you. I'm going to send you to the nations. Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is what I want you to do. Stand up on your feet. I have a mission for you. I will send you to the nations. Go ye into all the world. Preach the good news to every person. That's what he calls us to do. That's what he told Saul. I want you to do. I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to the light. God calls us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, Peter says. You know, when you read in the Bible, you can look in the Old Testament, and you see incredible evil. Bad things happening. I'll tell you what. You don't have to read very far. Look at his Bible. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Didn't have to read very far to get to that part. God said, I'm going to destroy man from the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, so he had Noah build the ark, and he and his family, Noah, the eighth person, got on the ark. God covered the world with a flood. And then it says that Noah's descendants repopulated the earth. Well, guess what? Jeremiah 17... Okay, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to every, I give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Gee whiz, we went through that entire flood thing, destroyed the whole earth. Noah and his family repopulated the earth. And by the time, you know, Jeremiah went into the captivity with the children of Israel into Babylon. Their hearts are still deceitful, desperately wicked. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is it with mankind? We are messed up. the things that Avni was sharing, you know, he suffered those things in the lifetime of all of us here in this room, not something that happened 1,000 years ago, or even hundreds of years ago. In fact, him and I had a conversation. I, for one, just couldn't believe it. After all that Europe suffered with this thing called genocide, where you're trying to annihilate an entire group of people. Thanks, bro. Then here in 1997, well, even before that is when it started in Bosnia and those places, mass graves. Avni shared with us the 200,000 people that were killed. You were safer to be a soldier because at least you had your own gun to shoot somebody if they tried to kill you. The victims over there were civilians, unarmed, not able. That wasn't 100 years ago. That was in your lifetime. Where did that come from again? How could Europe sit idly by while that was taking place? Do you realize that the United States was flying B-2 bombers all the way from Missouri, fueling them in the air to drop bombs on Belgrade to try to get this crazy guy to stop burning the homes and assaulting the women and shooting these men? Did the United States and Great Britain were the only two that originally responded to try to stop? And even we were too late. Why did we wait so long? The country had already been ravaged. I was in a graveyard with Javed Durako, and it was a war dead graveyard. And while we were standing there, two Albanian men were there. And they approached us. Javed knew them, so he spoke to them, and they took my hands. These two men grabbed my hands and were speaking to me in Albanian. And they were shaking my hands. I didn't know what they were. And Javed said, "They're thanking you. Mr. Steve, they're thanking you." They said, "If it wasn't for you," what they meant was the American people, they said, "we would all be dead." That's what they said. That's hard to take, man. That's hard to stand there and have somebody doing that, saying that to you. And Javed took us into one graveyard. Sue was with me. And he wanted to show us Durako, 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 16 members of his extended family. Why? Evil. You watch on the news yesterday, people celebrating in Little Havana because Fidel Castro's dead. He ran that brutal regime for almost 60 years. Political prisoners, torture, executions, firing squads, all that stuff. You know, that was an eye-opener for me. When I came back from overseas, my first tour was Westpac, came back and reported into Camp Lejeune. And that, I didn't like that place at all. Man, it's too spit and shine for me. And I'm here at the reporting headquarters, 2nd Marine Division, and they were looking for volunteers to go to Gitmo. I'm like, "Where's Gitmo?" They said, "Guantanamo Bay, Cuba." I said, "There's Americans in Cuba?" I didn't even know we had a base down there. They go, "Yeah, you want to go? We'll give you $350 cash. It's a bonus if you'll just go." I'm like, "I'm in." I didn't know what I was volunteering for, but it sounded good to me, getting a bonus. Well, that base has been down there for, well, about 100 years. Back when we were friendly with Cuba, they allowed us to put a base down there. But when Castro took over in 1959 and proclaimed himself a communist and a dictator, told the Americans, "Get out." We said, "No." So we put the Marines down there, and we mined that whole area, and we put bunkers and barbed wire out on the forward edge of the battle area, 5 miles out from Mainside, and then we had to maintain a vigilance 24 hours a day facing the Cuban army so they couldn't take the base back. So I went down there in 1972, largest active minefield in the world next to the one in the DMZ in Korea. And from our lines out to the Cuban army was 1,000 meters of no man's land. And it was mined by the Soviets. because they didn't want their people to escape. Think about it. I remember, you guys remember, in our recent political elections, there was people saying, if Trump becomes president, I'm leaving the country. And then there were some people saying, well, if Hillary becomes president, I'm leaving the country. Well, you're free to go. Anyone is free to go. Nobody is going to shoot you if you decide you don't like living here anymore. But guess what? I was 20 years old. I wasn't a politician. What did I know about that? But when I stood on that fence line and our towers were 1,000 meters apart, and when the sun went down, it was pitch black out there because we had no lights out there because it was basically a little mini war zone. But sometimes Cuban civilians who wanted a better life would try to get to the American base because their choice was get on a homemade raft and try to cross 90 miles of shark-infested water. There's a whole lot of Cubans that never made it to the United States. They drowned in the attempt or were ate by the sharks. So some wanted to just get to the naval base at Guantanamo. If they could get over the fence, they thought they'd be safe. Because if they could get to the fence, we captured them. We had to, because if they stepped off the gravel road that took us out to our towers, they wouldn't walk 10 feet, and they would be blown up because we had a very sophisticated minefield. The one that the Soviets put in was so hit and miss, people actually could cross 1,000 meters and not step on a mine. They didn't even know it was mined until we told them, you know, you just crossed a minefield, huh? With their wives and kids. One night, one of them mines went off, boom! And all these crazy birds that sleep in the brush, walking, and all these birds would take, and I heard people screaming. So it was a family, probably a large group, was trying to get across, and they were coming through that brush and that 1,000 meters of no man's land, heading for the distant lights of the Naval Air Station, and somebody stepped on a landmine. So the Cubans open up with machine guns. Boom, 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 boom. They're trying to hit. They're strafing, just firing machine gun bullets. Well, I'm in a plywood tower, and I'm downrange between them and the people they're shooting at. I had to get out of that tower and into my bunker. I got a radio. I'm calling the guard shack and saying, we need help. We need a quick reaction force out here. These crazy Cubans. We're not allowed to shoot back. They're not shooting at us. They're shooting at their own people. I'm 20 years old, and I'm trying to process, what kind of country is this that would shoot its own people who just want a better life? What kind of evil is that? East Germany at that time was the same way. If you tried to escape from East Germany, they killed you. This world is broken, but there is the victory. And overcoming this world is the faith. It's called the faith. Because, see, the faith of the Bible, the faith that the Bible produces is transcendent. In other words, human beings are made for life, for light, truth, because God has an eternal purpose that He is working for all people, for all time, every nation under heaven. This scripture I mentioned in the communion meditation, we can come together and take this communion on the first day of the week, and I've been blessed to participate in the exact same observance in other countries for the exact same reason. The universal kingdom of God that Jesus began to teach 2,000 years ago. He told the people, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist was first preaching it before Jesus came. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God that the Jews thought that was coming was going to be a physical kingdom, like with King David in the days of King David, that Israel would become a powerful nation with Messiah on the throne, and they would overthrow Rome, Caesar, and any other enemy. Jesus said, you've got it all wrong. The kingdom of God does not come with observation as you think. When they say, oh, it's over here, or oh, it's over there, he said, don't go, for the kingdom of God doesn't come that way, not with observation, not physical, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual thing. And Jesus is king. And that kingdom of God came into existence 2,000 years ago. The people of God who were called out of darkness and into the marvelous light, turning from the darkness, from Satan, to light, to God, receiving forgiveness of sins. That evil of this world ain't never going to go away. As long as you've got the wickedness of man's heart, unrepentant. Each one of us is either a part of the problem in this world or we're part of the solution. It's amazing what one person can do. I appreciate my friend Avni because he's experienced the darkness in ways that most of us would be terrified at the thought. You know, I personally shared what he didn't want to share. I guess he didn't want to be too hard on everybody. But we read about the Apostle Paul being beaten with rods 3 times. It didn't say he was beaten with re-rod, with steel bars. But that's what's happened to God's people in the past. This world is tough. But God is able to make us stand. Our faith is the victory that can overcome the world. It makes no sense. This world makes no sense. For me as a 20-year-old, seeing people being machine gunned because all they wanted was a better life. They just wanted to come to America. Well, where are we supposed to go? The moon? We're already in America. The kingdom of God awaits. Jesus said, go and preach the good news to everyone in Romans chapter 1. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. For in it, in that good news of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It can open the mind. It can transform the life. Come out of the darkness into the light. If you are a part of the solution, you heard what Avni even said. When he works with the young people, he realizes if I get them early enough and I teach them values and the proper things, you know, about how to be and human rights and civil rights, that just because some evil politician shows up someday, he won't be able to change them that easily. That's Bible. That's scripture. You change the mind, because mindset is a hard thing to change. And if you can change the mind, if you come from the darkness to the light, it won't be so easy for you to be deceived again, to go back. Our minds are powerful. We need to appreciate that. You see all this data? That is information designed by God to transform the human mind. A lot of it's redundant, but hey, how else do we learn but to look at things from different angles, different perspectives? And that's what both Old Testament and New Testament. Now remember, the New Testament's the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament's the New Testament concealed. But once that is unpackaged, we see this big picture, we go, wow. But I'm not telling you nothing. How many churches don't have any idea? That's what that's designed for. The churches have become traditions. You guys know Java Duraco, and I told you this before. When Java Duraco was telling me about those atrocities, he just kind of mentioned that it was the Christians that had cut the people's heads off and did those things to the women and burned those homes. And I said, Java, them weren't Christians. And he said, oh, yes, Mr. Steve. He wasn't being argumentative. He was just stating it as a fact. effect as he understood these are Orthodox Christians. And I said, no, they're not. Well, it's not true Christianity. It ain't Bible Christianity. We don't go out and cut people's heads off. Easy. That is some kind of tradition in the name of Christianity. And there's a whole lot of that going on out there. We need the truth. Because Jesus said, truth will set you free. He said, in vain people worship me, he said, when they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Thank you for your attention this morning.